Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mix and Match Monday on 95.7 The Game. Now back to Vonte, Lowe, and Kolsky.
Here we go. Here we go.
Give it to me.
Here we go. Ted Neal's my name, and I'm going to take a little time to tell you boys my MC rhymes. One day in the middle of the night, two dead soldiers, they got up to fight. Ooh. Back to back, they faced each other, and they drew their swords, and they shot each other. Said, if you don't believe my lie is true, why don't you ask the blind man who saw it too?
Hey! Pretty cool! Give him a round of applause, everybody.
That's amazing. Hold on, I have a round of applause somewhere. Oh, you got
there
it.
Well done. There we go. Give me the trumpet, Kolsky. You have a trumpet for me?
I don't.
That was legit.
Every now and then I come with something for you.
That was a solid, like, what, 8 bars?
Yeah.
I'm going to write some more down. I'll write some more down for you.
No, I mean, that was a good... It's a short verse, but you could call that a verse,
hey,
for sure.
All these rappers only give you 8 bars nowadays anyway.
That's
these
true.
Songs are like 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
And yeah. The bars are much slower than Lo Neal's bars.
I need that 90s rap.
I have this for it.
Gucci!
Joe Spadoni on the ones and twos. We got Rashad back there. Intern of Force, Albie, doing a great job producing this show. Easy show. Kolsky, Lo Neal, Vonte Hill, taking you up until 2 o'clock. We need a tease. Yeah, hold on. The tease real quick.
Okay.
Monster Monday.
Ooh.
This all the show. This show is brought to you by Monster Monday. Benjamin, Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. And Dolan Lumber. Windows and doors. All right. Tease it.
What's your tease? So what I asked you, Lo, is Robert Saleh knows Seattle, but Pete Carroll knows Robert Saleh. Who gets the bigger advantage from knowing each other well come Monday?
I think the biggest advantage is going to be this Niner defense, because of the fact you have a guy in Richard Sherman, believe it or not, who's a coach on the field.
Right.
And not just that, he has a sphere of influence that Robert Saleh and this defensive coordinators and the defensive staff listen to him, because he's got gravitas.
Yep.
You watched Richard Sherman the other day, just disappointed, talk about the defense, said this was humbling for us.
Is that more about him missing a tackle on an 88-yard touchdown, or do you think that was some truth to that?
It was more about them playing press coverage for what? For who?
Yeah.
Why? Why'd you do it? We've been playing off, man. What do you want to do this for? Now you're going to expose, or what would you do this for? So he's disappointed, saying, why? Why are we doing that? It's third and long. All you got to do is play off and now rally and tackle.
Right.
So he's saying, what do we do? What was the need to take that type of gamble in that game? And that's what he was disappointed. Yeah, he's disappointed he missed the tackles. He said, I got to make that tackle. And if you listen to his comments, he said, we all got to get better. Everyone needs to look at this game and evaluate it. And they know that they're a good defense, but you always have to have room for improvement. You're never as good as you are, and you're never as bad as you are. So this Niner defense, they got to continue to get better.
Does Robert Saleh have a counterpunch? Because the teams that are coming up here are the big boys. Seattle. I think Arizona the second time around, and Kingsbury, that's not going to be easy. They're going to look to upset the 49ers. Green Bay, we know about Aaron Rodgers. We know about the two road games back-to-back, Baltimore and New Orleans. Does Robert Saleh have a counter to everything that's going to be thrown at his defense coming up here, Lo?
I think, does he have a counter for what Shanahan? There's no counter for Russell Wilson. The biggest thing you could do is you have to realize he's going to get his. He's Houdini-esque. You watch him, what he was able to do. He can scramble. Your biggest thing, don't try to look for sacks. The worst thing this team can do is they start hunting for sacks, because what happens is guys penetrate up the field, and now you leave those lanes for now when the tackles, if the tackles kick step and then they let guys beat them around, there's lanes there. The biggest thing, everyone's got to say, I'm going to take my guy and I'm going to press him back to the quarterback. You get even push. Keep Russell Wilson in the phone booth.
It's discipline, right?
This is a do-your-job game.
Exactly.
Now, this is also a game where Dre Greenlaw will get his first ever NFL start, the rookie out of Arkansas. Is this young man ready for him? Lo, you was at the first preseason game, and Kolsky chime in on this. I saw Dre Greenlaw. He was aggressive. He did tackle. He'll hit you, but he also over-pursued. And I worry about a rookie linebacker now having to step in for Quan Alexander, who's out for the season with a torn pec muscle. Can Greenlaw, does he have the, I don't even know if he has the IQ yet to really understand what he's going up against. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Drew Brees. How much of a loss is this for this Niners defense? Because you're talking about all this low, staying in your lanes, being disciplined. Can Dre Greenlaw be disciplined for this football team?
I think he's going to have to. I think when you look at what teams are going to do, play action at him, and I play action at him, and then you say, hey, can I get, you know, because he's played the weak side linebacker. He plays the wheel, so he's playing the weak side linebacker. Do I motion across and put him, make him now be in the Sam, because not necessarily they switch linebackers because you don't want guys to cross up and fall and get them doing mid-snap. So now say, okay, make it look like an under front. Make it look like he's playing the weak side. Now I'm going to motion across, and now I'm going to run play action at him for him to stick his head in, and now I can get the tight end right behind him. Now sometimes I'm going to leave him to that side and have the tight end front side, and now am I going to have a route that's going to have play action and get a receiver right over in those windows? Are guys going to drop in their zones? Is he going to be disciplined? You have to test him out. You got to test him out with play action. You got to run at him. You got to test him out with counters. You got to test him out with screens. You got to look at this young fella and say, I want to see if this guy is fundamentally sound. Does he know his defense? Does he know his gap control? Does he know his assignment? What are we going to do to see if this young man, Greenlaw, has what it takes? Can he hit? Absolutely. Can he run? Absolutely. I like him. He flies around, but at times he gets nosy. You saw it firsthand when they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, they had Tampa Bay dead to right. Once Quan went out, go look how Tampa Bay started moving the ball. So, yes, it's going to be an opportunity for him to step up. And now, can other guys, the Fred Warners, can those guys teach this young fella? He's a rookie. The biggest thing, can you teach him? Can you get him up to speed? I think they can, but you are expecting a lot of things from Greenlaw. But I know one thing. Physically, he has the talent. He has the talent to be a good linebacker.
And then how much added pressure on Fred Warner, not just to get Greenlaw up to speed, but I imagine his responsibilities increase a lot going from the second-year guy next to a stud in Quan Alexander to... I mean, there's no arguing who the number one available linebacker is right now. Fred Warner's it.
No doubt.
Yeah, and Fred Warner, when you look at it, I think that he's the reason why he was even having a better year this year is because of you had a guy, in that Quan Alexander. Yep. Quan said, shoot the gun, boy. I got you. I'll play over the top. Look, right. Go get it. They were vibing together. So many times you watch him, he said, you go, I got it. These guys, you just start playing together. You start having that feel together, that chemistry together. Start dancing partners. You understand what they're going to do. And, you know, you talk about different things, what happens in the course of a game. It's a reason why those guys are gelling on defense, because they understand where the fits is. And that's where this defensive line, you're watching the chemistry, how guys are now, how they're going to push the pocket. What are they doing? Understanding tendencies. And you start to feel it. That's why it was so amazing watching Jimmy G and friggin' Emmanuel get on the same page right away.
Right.
I talked about hey, look, faith is a substance of things hoped for and everything's a things not seen. Faith is, you know what? That's still tangible. No, it's not, because you got to have faith. That ball might come to you. You have to have, your feet is moving. If Emmanuel just stood there and didn't run the route, because he didn't have faith that the ball was going to come to him, he wouldn't move. If he just stood there, Jimmy G was no chance. Is he just going to sit and throw the ball to a guy who's got his arm folded because he's not moving?
Right.
You got to have faith that faith is action. You got to start running those routes. Every one of those receivers, you run routes because you believe, even if it don't come to you, it was going to come to you. Those are the things that you got to continue to do as a team. Have the faith and the ability to say, I'm going to do my job in spite of. If I don't catch one, but I want to go full speed. And no one exemplifies that more on this team than George Kittle.
Well, good. I'm glad you segued there to tight ends. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But I want to let everybody know that we are giving away Warriors tickets noon. We're giving away two tickets tonight against the Portland Trailblazers at the Chase Center. Pair of lower bowl seats. Again, they're not in the nosebleeds. You won't need tissue paper. You're going to be rubbing shoulders with Bob Myers and Joe Lacob in the lower bowl tonight. We'll do that at 12 o'clock. Brian Baldinger also will join us at high noon, 95.7 The Game Insider, NFL Network, radio.com, NFL Insider. He'll break down what's going on with the 49ers and around the league. And, of course, Softy from KJR Radio in Seattle, afternoon drive host on 950 KJR in Seattle. He'll join us at 1 o'clock to talk about the upcoming matchup between the Seahawks and the 49ers. Dre Greenlaw, right? He's going to have to guard tight ends. You're going to have to cover tight ends down the stretch. Baltimore, they have two tight ends in Andrews and Hurst.
Got three.
The Saints have Jared Cook. Seattle, I know they lost Disley, but they still use the tight end. And also they have three stud wide receivers and the running backs coming out of the backfield. You talk about the Saints. They're going to have Kamara and Latavius Murray coming out of the backfield. So a lot of work to do for Dre Greenlaw. How important are these tight ends for these quarterbacks coming down the stretch? Since they're like a quarterback's best friend, correct?
Without a doubt they are. And that's why you look at a team that lost last night. You look at, you know, Tommy Brady doesn't have the guy that he's had forever, Gronkowski. I think tight ends are the quarterback best friend. When you have a quarterback that knows how to get the ball to his tight ends, it's a guy that he's a chain mover. A tight end, they are good chain movers. You look at Kittle, how efficient he is on that third down. You look at Kansas City, why they go to Kelce at times, because of the fact that tight end is that game changer. He is that game. He is that chain mover, a guy that can get you 5-10 yards in a cloud of dust. And just so happen, we have one that is not just a chain mover, but he's a game changer because of his big play potential.
No doubt. Zach Ertz is a game changer in Philadelphia as well. A lot of these teams, and you mentioned it, the Patriots missing Rob Gronkowski right now. I want to get to the second half questions in just a second, and his gauntlet coming up for the Niners, but I got to get out to my guy Jonathan in SF. Wants to talk about the reinforcements coming in Niners' way here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, man. I feel like if the 49ers, I'm going to talk fullback now, Lo, they get back their human battling ram, Kyle Juszczyk, I wouldn't bet against them against anyone, because that guy opens holes. And if you give a play caller genius like Kyle Shanahan a running game, it's checkmate. That guy with his offense and this defense, hey, Lo, I love you, man, but Drew Brees ain't going to beat him. The only team I fear is the Baltimore Ravens because they're physical. No one can match the 49ers' physicality when it comes to their running game and their ferocious defense.
So Jonathan, do they go 15-1? Is that what you're saying? Is that the way you see this team going 15-1? Is that safe to say then? Am I wrong there? What are you saying?
If they get Kyle Juszczyk back and Greenlaw is not much of a drop off, the only loss I see in the future is maybe Seattle because they don't need it at the end of the year.
Well, I think they will get Juszczyk back. We expect him back on Monday, but if Greenlaw's not much of a drop off is a pretty big if there. I mean, I think we can assume Dre Greenlaw looks like a nice rookie. We can assume there's a significant drop-off from Quan Alexander to Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah, Quan Alexander is a Pro Bowler. Greenlaw is not. Quan Alexander is a linebacker to be one of the top. There's not four or five linebackers out there that I would take over him. He hits you and you go down. He's not a guy that's just going to hit you and wrap you up. He's a guy that hits you and try to run through you. He tries to bring fear. He tries to take your heart from you. So it is a huge drop off, but I think that Greenlaw can run. He's fast. He can hit. He could do those things. But
what about the swag too that Quan brings?
The swag.
Man. Wow.
The swag
is contagious.
Yep. It really is. But I just don't see that this team's going to go 15-1. And I know Jonathan and I know Niners fans out there are saying that. You got to realize this is going to be the toughest part of their season getting ready to come up.
Oh.
The toughest part is getting ready to come up, and we'll get to see after this trip. We'll see how they look, how they view this team after this road trip. And if they do what everyone says they're doing, then yeah, I'm willing to say this is the best team in NFL.
And fellas, we talk about these remaining eight games. There are currently four quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls. Four quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls. And the Niners will face three of them. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees in their next five games. And sandwiched in between those games is mobile quarterbacks in Kyler Murray, who we just saw last Thursday, and that young man named Lamar Jackson, who everybody wanted to move to wide receiver. He is a problem. That's a headache for you. And that pistol run game that they're running with Greg Roman, who used to be the OC with the San Francisco 49ers.
That's a problem.
Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Russell Wilson. Out of all those quarterbacks, you could say Wilson's in a conversation for MVP.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson's in a conversation for MVP.
Yep.
Drew Brees, we know he can win an MVP. Aaron Rodgers is a former MVP, Kolsky. Boy, this schedule's about to heat up for the Niners, and I can't wait to see how they respond to it, especially coming off of that Thursday game where they give up 25 points to the Arizona Cardinals. These quarterbacks that they're facing are big time.
Even the worst team they play, the Atlanta Falcons, has a former MVP playing quarterback. Now, I'm not particularly afraid of Matt Ryan. I'm just saying,
right,
the level of quarterback play they're about to see is 100%, a 180-degree turn different from what they've seen. Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield.
Kyle Allen.
A beat-up and confused Jared Goff. What was it, Case Keenum in Washington?
Case Keenum,
but
yep.
We couldn't even tell who it was because it was so damn muddy. Kyle Allen. And Kyler Murray is by far the best quarterback they've faced, based on what I've seen. Almost every quarterback they face the rest of the way is better than Kyler Murray, with the exception of when they get Kyler Murray again.
And
it's tough.
That, honestly, what you just laid out, when you think about where this league is, if you think about Jameis, I'd rather have Kyler Murray. You think about Jason Rudolph, I'd rather have Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
You just laid out the quarterbacks that they played against, the Niners, that is.
Goff probably deserves some respect, but he hasn't been great.
Offensive line trouble with L.A.
Right. So maybe Goff, the line trouble they had. So if you look at it from a standpoint of that, Niner fans, think about that. The best quarterback they played against maybe was a rookie because Jared Goff didn't have his offensive line. They got older offensive line. It's getting beat up. And look at their tight end. Don't have their tight end. You look around the league and you start looking at the teams that have these tight ends. We alluded to it. We talked about it. And the Raiders. You look with their tight end.
And Moreau.
Oh, my God.
They're problems.
They're problems.
Matchup nightmares.
Linebackers can't guard them. Nope. And they're too physical and too strong for safeties.
No doubt.
That's what makes this team, and they're competitive. And that's why I think the Raiders are a competitive team. But the Niners, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens. But what I'm most happy about with the Niners is I think that their offense is getting ready to get in high gear.
Ooh, I like that, Lo. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Let's go out to Thomas on 101. He wants to talk about the Niners here on 95.7 The Game on a mix-and-match Monday. Thomas, what is happening? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Great chill. Hey, I just want to talk about I don't think the Niners are peaked. You know, the other quarterbacks we're talking about, they're MVPs, but, you know, they're at the top of their game. So we got room to grow. I think we might take maybe 3 losses the next 8 games, but just like you learn from winning, you learn from losing, and we'll get into the playoffs, and hopefully we go somewhere.
Thanks for the phone call, Thomas. You talked about it with Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's
a great call.
He's being real. Yep. He's being realistic. Yeah, just like you learn from winning, you learn from losing.
No doubt. No doubt.
And the Niners didn't lose that game last week when they went to Arizona on a short week. But Arizona, you said, can you give them a pass? Well, Arizona was on the same short week, guys, and they had to travel. They traveled to New Orleans and played a team that's very physical. So the Niners, so you look at that. So you got to take that in consideration. I think that Arizona team, in my opinion, I think it made the Niners better.
Oh, that's a good point. And I think there's something to that, Kolsky. With the Niners losing Kwon Alexander, everybody just assumes that the defense is going to not be as dominant without Kwon Alexander, no doubt. The running game may suffer a little bit, getting after the quarterback, being in the right sets. But with Jimmy Garoppolo and what he did in Arizona, 28-37, 317 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And you guys mentioned it, Emmanuel Sanders now having a trust factor with one of these wide receivers. And what Sanders does is the trickle-down effect. All of a sudden, Debo gets better. All of a sudden, George Kittle sees less double coverage. Can Jimmy Garoppolo, is that a sign of things are coming? Can he basically cover up some of the weaknesses on this football team now? Do you trust Jimmy G to throw and duel with these quarterbacks coming up on the schedule, Matt?
Well, first of all, he's about to face the 22nd ranked defense. So this is not the Seattle team you remember. This is a team that really is all Russell Wilson. And when they were winning Super Bowls, I'm not trying to slander Russell Wilson, but that was a team built around defense. Just like it's not Jimmy G slander to say right now that the Niners are a team built around defense. That's how Seattle won games.
Right.
Now they win games when Russell Wilson saves them. They are not a good defense, especially not a good run defense. So the formula against Seattle is the same as it's been against every team you've played this year. Even if none of them are as good as Seattle, it's this simple. Keep the ball.
And the Niners do that well. They own the time of possession game. I think they're number 2 right behind Baltimore. We seen them last week against Arizona, 35 minutes. Against Carolina, 37 minutes. Against the Cleveland Browns, 38 minutes. They control the rock. But with this Seattle defense, what did you see yesterday? Because Jameis and Bruce Arians, they cooked up a great game plan. They cooked them boys up there in Seattle and threw up 34 points. Can the Niners keep the ball away from this Seattle's offense? Is that the key to this Monday Night Football game?
It's crazy. When you watch Jameis play, you could say, I could see this guy being a Pro Bowl quarterback, and then he'll show you that he's going to give you 20 interceptions.
Man.
The difference between he and the quarterback that's in Tennessee that they got drafted the same year, Mariota, Jameis can throw any ball, yep. any pass. He's mm-hmm. just undisciplined. And that's the thing about him. He'll make you think, man, that guy's great. And then all of a sudden, the next week, he'll give you five interceptions. Inconsistency on him, that kills him. When I look at this Seattle team and you ask, you know, what happens? Can they play keep away? Yeah, they can. And I'm going to go back to last week. When I heard Richard Sherman say this was humbling, it was humbling for us. And we'll see how we bounce back. All the different things we should evaluate this. All those things. It people are like, oh, man, that's scary. No, alarming. No. To me, it gave me a great deal of happiness to hear Richard Sherman say, I got to make that tackle. To hear Richard Sherman say, we got to play better. Mm-hmm. To hear him say, we got humbled. To see that defense give up 100 yards on the ground over this guy crushing
Kenyon Drake, yeah, Kenyon 115 yards.
On the rushing, then in the passing game. To see him get demolished in the screen game. Yep. To see them yep. say, God, they had check with me's. They were hey, guys, what do we got to do? We know teams now are going to have check with me. Russell Wilson's going to sit up and he's going to throw the ball over and we got to tackle. Guys better be working on form tackling this week. All those little things. Okay, look, we can't tackle. We can't let them beat you to the outside because the sideline's not there. You got to make sure you funnel them in. Hey, guys, we can't blow our coverages. Hey, guys, we got to stay on our pass lane. This game, I'm telling you, Arizona really, really, in my opinion, exposed them, and now we get to see how they make the adjustments. That's what it does. Just like that last caller that called in several calls ago, Thomas said, hey, look, just like winning gives you great hope to make sure you can get better, just like losing does the same, he's right. Just so happened they happened to win that game playing one of the worst games that they played. So I think, Koski, that this team and Robert Saleh, the defense, the offense, I think you learn from Arizona. Arizona might have put you in a great, you had them at a great time, and they exposed you, and they gave you a blueprint what teams are going to do. How are you going to get that fixed?
Yeah, and I think it helps for the 49ers that you can go tomorrow when the players show back up and it's film study time. First of all, you're going to be able to pull up the film from Arizona and say right off the top, this effort that beat Arizona by 3 gives us a loss against Seattle. Mm. Same effort, we lose this week. And the second thing I bet they can do, and this is Lowe would be better equipped to answer, but really Robert Saleh is the guy who's probably going to do it. They're going to be able to pick 10 plays or so from that Arizona game and say, what you did here against Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson kills you if you do that on Monday.
And you say, okay, you guys supposed to be number one defense? Here.
Right.
I bring the whole team in. Let's watch tape together.
This guy, this running back, Kenyon Drake, right. showed up 3 days before the game, and this is what he did to you.
Now you got to go up against Carson, who's running the ball hard.
And he got way more wiggle and everything else, and he runs more physical. I'm going to say, here, you guys number one defense. Oh, you guys, here, Nicky Bosa, they're talking about you MVP. Where's my MVP? How many sacks you get? Where were you at? Mm. Where was he at?
Mm.
Got doubled. They took you away. Who showed up? Okay. They doubled him. They had two guys said, don't let Nicky Bosa beat you, and they took him away from the game. Okay, Buckner, you want to get paid? Where you at?
Yep.
Okay, where are you guys at? Okay, D4, where are you? I'm putting the tape. Hey, how's this screen going for 15? Look, where's the fits? Okay, where are we at, defense? Okay, we're playing off man. You want to play off man? Okay, Richard, we wanted to play off man. Okay, now we want to show you played off man. Who made the tackle? Okay, the guy runs for 15. He stiff arms you, and no one tackles. Where you at? Teams are going to – where are we at? We supposed to be the number one team.
Woo.
That's how you make teams. That's what I'm doing.
And that's what Shanahan –
I'm calling guys out.
And that's what Shanahan and company did after the Rams game. They said, oh, you guys think you're all this and that? This is what we did against the Rams that was not so good. And so they took that to Washington
or
and didn't have that
game.
Letdown. And the Steelers game, when you turn the ball over 5 times. Fellas, we're going to talk more football a little bit later. Baldy's going to join us at high noon. But let's get into these Golden State Warriors. And I'm not looking at the losses. I'm not looking at the wins. But – what is there to like about this Warriors team? I'll tell you coming up after the break. Low Neal, Matt Kolsky, Bonte Hill. But first, let's go to Hannah with the latest on what's happening on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks, Bonte. What's coming up on The Game is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. It's a mix and match Monday, and you're listening to the lovely sounds of Low, Bonte, and Kolsky. And the 49ers are the last one standing as the only undefeated team in the NFL. Now, after a Patriots loss to the Ravens, are the Niners the best team in the league? The guys will discuss and ask our Radio.com NFL insider, Brian Baldinger, at noon. San Francisco will host the Seahawks a week from today. We'll go behind enemy lines and preview the game with Seattle radio host Dave Softy-Muller at 1 p.m. And speaking of previews, part of Mix and Match Monday, we have Steiny, Dibs, and Ratto on tap from 2 to 6. They'll chat with our 95.7 The Game football insider Michael Irvin at 4 p.m. Warriors and Blazers at Chase Center tonight. Will the Doves get their first win at Chase? The guys will discuss that coming up next. And mark it down at noon. We're giving away tickets to the game tonight. Coverage starts with Warriors warm-up at 6, tip-off at 7:30. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50, plus get a week of protein pack shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. I'm Annika Gregg on 95.7 The Game.
Here we go.
Uh-oh. I think Low Neil's got something for this.
Oh, yeah.
It's Mix and Match Monday on 95.7 The Game.
Uh-oh.
Now back to Bonte, Low, and Kolsky.
I got something for you.
Uh-oh.
You want some Bonte?
Yeah, I want some heat, baby. Come
wait.
On.
Okay.
Talk to me.
Okay. My heart is filled with so much love, and I need someone I can call my own. Love, that's what every man dreaming of.
We got the video on this, right?
Oh, man.
Because he's got the hand motion,
he's got
the facial
it all.
Expressions, the whole thing's working.
He's bringing it up from the gut.
Okay. No question.
Like, I mean,
that's how you use your diaphragm to sing.
Okay, you like
yeah,
that?
Absolutely.
The windows did not get cracked either.
No.
I mean, wow. Low deal. Everybody.
What else going on, man?
He can rap. He can rap.
See, I wanted it exactly.
He can sing. He can freestyle.
It's like a quadruple threat.
I mean,
you talk on the radio.
It's got it all. Swiss Army Knife / Hall of Famer.
That's right.
That's Hall of Fame talent right there.
I mean, we got lucky. We both knew we won the draft.
Dude, Mix and Match Monday. And we did the draft on Friday. And I was just thinking, don't give me 3:30 a.m. And if somehow I get Low and Kolsky, because I knew everybody would sleep on this show.
Kolsky's like,
they kind of just think of us as afterthoughts, Low Deal.
I know.
And I got my fullback here, lead blocking. I got Kolsky. We go back 7 years? So
at
far
least.
Back,
and
at Kos- least.
And Kolsky be riding. Kolsky's like, let's go, Low.
Let's just go.
He said, we got
let's
this.
Let's roll.
We got this.
I got this draft, and I said, Low, reminds me of the football hour, the draft show. Okay, we good.
It's beautiful.
I know Low Deal can talk hoops, too. Because we're about to talk hoops. Kolsky, you do the stats for the Warriors.
I don't know also if you guys still have the audio, but if you could hear. Also, there were like 10 people on the air, so you might not have even been able to hear me. But I was just laughing on the phone after the draft happened. It was just me in the background cackling with delight while Ratto and Dibley began to insult each other.
Yeah. At 95, I see. Low, you sound pretty good, but I have to leave that other part out of there. They're kind of shocked.
How jealous is Guru right now? Because Guru, he came with his bars, kiddo like a niner, goo-goo-ga-ga. But then he hears Low Deal in this time slot in the same chair.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Guru's probably thinking, this guy's stealing my thunder.
Right in his chair.
You call in Guru if you like the voice. Goo's lady, his wife, she loves me, by the way. She loves
me. Oh, wow.
Music. Not like that.
You know what else she loves?
She likes when
what else she loves? She loves touching dudes' biceps at Venice Beach.
What?
Ask Guru about that.
Goo!
Like, I'm saying.
What?
It's like walk up to someone on Muscle Beach and grab some bicep.
Joey? Yeah. I'm like, whoa. My girl's grabbing my biceps.
Whoa, Goo!
My little 8-inch pythons.
Goo. Say it ain't so. Goo, call in. I don't believe Bonte.
I'm telling you, man. He dropped that heat on me. I say, whoa, you cool with that? You cool with that?
Fake news, bro.
Baldy coming up at high noon. We're giving out tickets to tonight's Warriors game against the Trailblazers. Dame Dolla playing for the first time at Chase Center, and the Blazers lost a heartbreaker Saturday night to the Sixers. The Warriors also lost a heartbreaker as they were without Draymond Green, without D'Angelo Russell. Of course, they're without Steph Curry for the next 3 months. Klay Thompson, who knows when he's coming back.
Is there such a thing as a heartbreaker, given what you just said?
It was a heartbreaker. We were all waiting for that first win at Chase Center. They lose to the Hornets by 6. They were down 2 at the half to San Antonio Friday night, and then they got blown out there by 17. But there are some positives, Kolsky. There's some silver linings with this Warriors team.
Yes, and that... Every Warrior fan this year is going to have to dig deep for that whatever got you through the 20 years before this last five. You know what I mean? You got to dig deep in yourself. And you got to find that little voice inside you that can rise above the losing and say, hey, man, that Eric Paschal, he's pretty darn good. That's the 41st pick in the draft, I think. And we got ourselves an NBA player day one. Hey, Jordan Poole, if he figures this thing out a little bit, I saw him handle the ball and distribute a little bit on Saturday night. If he becomes a consistent jump shooter, that could be a really good bench piece, maybe even a starting guard. Like, that's how you have to view this year. What can I take with me from a lost season in terms of being competitive. What can I take with me into the future where I expect to be competitive again?
It's just amazing when you see this team, where they've been and where they're going. And it's, I think that, yeah, you look where they're going and they're going down. We understand that they're right. going down, but like you just alluded to, how are you going down? That's the thing. It's different. If you're going down, you're like, okay, it's different when you're on an airplane and they said, okay, we started our descent. You understand you're going down. But if they said, hey, buckle up, we're going down and it's a little choppy, that's going down a little. That's not the way you want to go down, right?
Right.
And I think the Warriors are in that situation where, look, you're going down and you understand where you're at this point in time of the organization. And it's like, how are we going to do this? Are we going to lose gracefully? Are we going to be competing? That's what you want to see. You don't want to see choppy. You don't want to see everyone panic. You want to say, this is a regular descent. But you know what? If we can descend the right way and continue to get on ground and then ammo back up through the draft, through free agency next year and say, let's take back off. Because you know what? We got a good pilot. You know what? Steve Kerr, you got a good pilot.
Right.
You know what? We got some great stewardess. We got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, guys that are coming back, Draymond Green. So our captain, we're going to make sure that we got the first class taken care of, and now we're going to help is going to be on the way. But now during this process, are these young guys, Koski, going to step up? You're watching them, you're doing the post game, you and Bonte getting to see these teams get up close and personal. Are they going to mature?
That's a good
are they going to trust the process?
Yeah.
Are they going to say, God, because you can't necessarily be a better point guard all of a sudden overnight, but you can become a better defensive player. Can this team galvanize these young players that don't have a lot of game experience and grow so when the cavalry's and the reinforcement get there, the process that they don't chose and the process in which they're taking through Steve Kerr, they're ready?
Oh, I think they will be ready. And I think the best thing for young guys, Lo and Koski, on an NBA team, more so than any other sport, you got to let young guys play. You see so many young guys in the NBA wash away because they're sitting on the bench. They're worried about, oh, man, if I make a mistake on the floor, coach is going to pull me. I'm going to be back in the film room, but I'm not going to be playing. Pascal, Poole, when Smiley Geach gets back, heck, Marquise Chris, Spellman, they can all play through their mistakes. There's minutes available for them. And the best experience you could get right now for these young guys, Lo, is playing. Pascal, 35 minutes on Saturday night. That's good for him in the future. So when he does go back to the bench and Curry and Draymond and Clay are all back, he's going to be solid. He's going to give you so much production per minute. They're going to say, man, Pascal, is he a second-year player or an eight-year player? Poole, he's got to get consistent. But the good thing about him is he's a young guy who's not afraid. He'll go 2 for 9, but the next night he'll shoot it 15 more times. I love seeing that. Or you could get you a Patrick McCall who's kind of hesitant to shoot, doesn't really want to shoot. Poole's going to shoot it, Koski.
Well, but also I think to be fair to Patrick McCall, that's why this situation can be looked at as a positive. Is Patrick McCall was in a spot where, yeah, he was worried about putting it up, because if he put it up twice when he shouldn't have, he's coming out. Jordan Poole's going to play. You know, for better or worse, Jordan Poole is going to be 20-plus minutes every night and 30-plus on a lot of nights with the way this team is beat up. And to me, Poole and maybe even more, a guy we have not seen yet.
Smiley Geach.
Allen Smiley Geach.
Right, right.
I want to see that 19-year-old kid on the floor, 25, 30 minutes a night, and let's take some lumps. Let's lose some games. Let's see him struggle against physical matchups, the likes of which he has never faced. And let's see if by the end of the year, that's a kid who's a real NBA player. I think he has the skills, and I'm excited to watch it. So, yeah, we're going to watch a lot of losses this year watching the Warriors, but we're also going to watch young guys get opportunities more than they have since Steph Curry was a young guy.
And when you guys talking about Smiley Geach, Bonte, is this a guy that you say, okay, throw this guy out there, throw him to the Wolves? Can you break? Are you concerned about getting him broke? Are you concerned about, hey, did I give this guy too many minutes? You remember Kobe when his first year, they didn't just say, Kobe, go. They still limit his minutes. Do you shatter a young guy's confidence? Can that be overwhelming? How do you look and view some of these guys when it comes to that?
It can be overwhelming for these guys, and I do worry about them, say, on a road trip. If they go out there, lose 5 straight, and they get blown out, and the young guy's confidence is down. That's where Steve Kerr. That's where Mike Brown.
Draymond.
That's where Collins. That's where Draymond Green come into play. Say, hey, young fellas, we've been there before. Keep your head up. Let's get better. Let's go to the film room and study. Let's practice. You're going to take your lumps. That's how this league is. It's not forgiving to young players. So when Smiley Geach does come, he's going to say, you know what? I was built for this. I want to play with the big boys. I want to learn and make my mistakes and get better by making those mistakes. You talked about the Niners low and coming from that Arizona game and how that was a blessing in disguise for them. For this Warriors team, for the short term and long term, I think this situation is a blessing in disguise for the Warriors because now they're going to have probably a top pick. They're going to be able to possibly move some guys, and you get Steph and Clay back. So I don't think, Lo, that these young guys will get broken. They'll just get better with experience and learn that, okay, this is a roller coaster ride for young guys in the NBA, and they'll get better because of it.
I was thinking about – oh, go ahead, Lo.
No, you know, I was going to ask you, you know, when you watch this team, and you're saying, okay, I want to see what these young guys can do, Koski. But when you see these guys, is there a guy that you say, okay, I know that this guy has the potential where you say the sky's the limit? Or you haven't seen enough of these guys where you say, you know, like Colley Stein and some of these guys, even the middle range guys who haven't been starters for a long period of time, doesn't have a lot of minutes. Yeah, they played for other teams, but really haven't been a mainstay. Can you look at these guys and say these particular guys are the sample size is too small right now that you can look and say, I really believe, and after this year, this guy may be a mainstay? Or because if it's not, don't you think that this organization just will clean house and move on? They didn't do a lot of long-term deals. I know you got a couple rookies that you're looking at, you're going to keep, but how many of these guys, when you look at, they're going to have opportunities that end up being mainstay?
I hate to say this, and I could certainly prove to be wrong, but I would bet that anyone on this roster who is not either an all-star or on their rookie contract is not likely to be here next season.
Wow.
So that means Burks, Colley Stein,
Glenn Robinson,
Chris Robinson. Yeah, that's tough.
Okay.
Marquise Chris with a possible exception. The thing about Colley Stein is either he's going to be good and he's going to want to get paid and the Warriors aren't going to be the ones to do that, or he's not going to be good and then why do you want him?
Okay, so you guys see a lot of
there's going to be turnover.
I'm going to say both. Absolutely.
Okay.
So there's going to be a lot of moving parts outside of and I even, you know what, fellas? I even throw Draymond Green in that conversation. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell is a trade piece that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
But I also look at Draymond Green. Can Draymond Green get better with his shot? Because the league low is getting bigger again. You see these bigs, Anthony Davis, Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, all these bigs, the league is getting bigger again. And the one thing that worries me about the Warriors moving forward is that they're just too damn small. They're too small or too skinny, especially in the post.
But okay, so if you say looking at a Draymond Green, you say possibly here's a guy that won't be here. Or maybe if that's a guy, because you got a long-term contract already,
right.
So you can trade. Will people? What is a team? What's a likely spot? Is it a Laker? Who's a team that he fits? What's a mold when you look at a Draymond? He's got to go to a team that already has an offense there.
Right.
That's why he was good here.
Portland.
Already had a team.
So well, Portland's a team that we're seeing tonight.
But I think this is where you have to have patience, is because right now, if we play the game, what are the teams that would be interested in Draymond? Like you just said, Lo, Portland's a good example, yep. Bonte. We're going to be looking at teams that have a really good offense but could use an extra facilitator and a defender.
Right.
That's what the Warriors are when they're healthy.
Right.
So it's going to be – that might be the hardest thing this year to be patient with, because it's – in a way, it's easy to be patient with Jordan Poole. He's 20 years old. We have to remember that Draymond Green, his effectiveness drops every time he loses an all-star teammate.
Yep.
Because what he really does is keep the ball moving on offense, distribute better than any power forward I've ever seen, and play D. And
can
right
he
now,
get back
none
to
of those
be- –
none of those things happen
I know.
That much.
You know what worried me, fellas, was at the Phoenix Suns game. The Suns, on the first possession of the game, dumped the ball to Aaron Baines, posted up Draymond Green, and got a bucket. And I just said, damn, how many teams around the league would come out in the game and just post up Draymond Green and go attack him? Teams are attacking Draymond way too many. And then last year there was a little slippage. I just don't know, Lo, if Draymond can get back to being that DPOY, that defensive player of the year. Can he ratchet it back up, or is there too much wear and tear?
Do you think that he's taking this year off too? Is this a guy that's saying, hey, coach, I'm a play in spots because what is it going to do?
They've already said it. Low management, and they're going to manage his minutes and a game. And
did any of you guys watch the latest episode of The Shop?
I did, not yet.
LeBron's thing on HBO. It was the one where he had Gavin Newsom sign the
bill. Yeah.
Totally unrelated to the Gavin Newsom part. Somebody asked LeBron in that room, how's the body feeling after not playing in the playoffs? And he was basically like, I feel better than I have in years. That's what this year is for the Warriors all-star future Hall of Famer guys. And I think the answer to the Draymond question is how far does he push it? He plays exactly as much so that game one of next year, he's saying my body feels better than it has in 6 years.
Right.
Same thing with Steph Curry. Yeah, I expect to see Steph Curry again this year.
Right.
But I want him to play exactly as much as he can to come back next year saying, I haven't felt this fresh in a decade.
Let me give you guys kind of an analogy and see if you guys follow me here and think that this is appropriate for Draymond and this team. If you look at a guy like Steph Curry, if you think about just fruits and vegetables, he would probably be a strawberry. You could stand alone. You could eat strawberries all day. You look at Klay Thompson. You know, maybe he's a plum or maybe he's a peach or whatever it may be, banana. You look at a guy like, you know, Draymond. You know what? I think he's more of an onion. You don't grab an onion and just start eating it. But you know what? When you got a lot of people around him, when you want that caramelize that onion up a little bit. When you want that good hamburger. You call on that onion. When you want that good soup, you call on that onion. Draymond is the onion of this team.
Wow.
He ain't stand alone. You can't put him on a team where he can go and be that strawberry and that, where he's just going to score it up and this sweet and do those things. But when you got everything around him, he's that old onion. When you want that good burger, give me that onion. Want that good soup? Give me that onion.
That's a hell of an analogy.
Excellent work.
I'm done. Can I go home now?
No. Frankly, we need you for 2 more hours.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And I need you as I give away these tickets here. Giving away a pair of lower bowl Warrior tickets to tonight's game against the Portland Trail Blazers. Dave, that low deal's got me. Man, this is crazy. Trivia question here. Mind blown. Seriously.
Boom. True.
The Warriors are 1-5. When was the last season? Here's a question, folks, so you can win tickets. Warriors are 1-5. When was the last season they had a worse start through the first 6 games of the season? Hint, it was an 0-6 start. It was an 0-6 start. Warriors are 1-5. When was the last season they had a worse start through the first 6 games? 844-999-GAME. 844-999-GAME. Call right now, and you can win some tickets to the Lower Bowl to go see Dame Dalla, Kai Bowman, Jordan Poole, and Eric Paschal tonight at Chase Center as the Warriors try to win their first game at Chase Center against the Portland Trail Blazers.
You know, a lot of people have been talking about the Spurs model. For obvious reasons, right?
I mean,
they lost Tim Duncan, or lost David Robinson, got Tim Duncan as a prize, and boom, 25 years of being really good. This is not quite as good, and I understand why the Spurs are the gold standard, but for whatever reason, I was thinking last night about, all right, well, are the Spurs the only ones who've actually pulled this off? Because if so, that means it's pretty damn hard, right?
Right.
And the team that jumped to mind is the Miami Heat since Pat Riley got there. It's not because the reason this popped into my head is there's not a Tim Duncan in next year's draft, right? It's easy to say, well, you have a bad year, you get a top pick, you get Tim Duncan. You don't get Tim Duncan most of the time, even if you pick first overall. So does it have to be a Tim Duncan year for a turnaround to happen that quickly? And I think, no, it takes really good management. And the fact of the matter is, there have not been a lot of franchises that have been managed by really good people for stretches as long as 20 and 25 years.
Right.
It almost has to be one guy, a Pat Riley or a Greg Popovich, grabbing control and holding on to it. But the Miami Heat did a very similar thing. And who's their huge draft pick since Dwayne Wade? And even
Crickets.
Dwayne Wade, I love Dwayne Wade. He's one of the great two guards of all time. He's not LeBron. He's not Anthony Davis. He's not what people expect Zion Williamson to be. He's just a really, really good, yes, a future Hall of Famer, but what, the fifth pick, I want to say, in that draft?
Yep.
The Miami Heat have had 5 losing seasons since 1995. They win every year, and they've only had back-to-back losing seasons one time since 95. That was 2001 to 2003. Otherwise, they reload. They lose a guy, they have a bad year, they bounce back. They go out in free agency and bring somebody in, whether it's Shaq in the middle of the 2000s or, you know, the LeBron and Wade
Chris Bosh.
And Bosh teams. Exactly. And if you're run really well and people respect your management and respect your head coach, They will want to come play for you, even if you just had a bad year, because they know the organization overall is sound. And I think right. that is also what the Warriors are counting on for the next few years, is players around the league recognizing, okay, they lost a lot of games this year, but that's because they were hurt and they had the Kevin Durant situation go weird on them and all this stuff. And they do good business. They have good players returning. This is a good franchise that people are going to want to play for. I think the Warriors can do that.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you think about Abonte, that's why I think Steph gets a lot of criticism, because of the fact he's one of the most – he is the most prolific scorer the game's ever seen, especially from three. Yeah. No one's ever going to – this guy's mm-hmm. arguably the greatest. But he gets a lot of unjust criticism because he's not Embiid that he can control a game.
Right.
LeBron can control a game. Kawhi Leonard can control a game. Embiid can control a game. Antetokounmpo can control a game. There we go. Giannis. Certain guys in the association, even Dame can't control a game.
No.
See, that's why you get a lot of guys, and you look at them, everyone's like, man, what's wrong? Because they can't control the game. There's a lot of guys that are thermostats, and there's a lot of guys that are thermometers. See, a thermostat, it regulates temperature. A thermometer mm-hmm. just measures it. And those guys can measure, they can shoot, they can do those things, but those guys that I'm mentioning, they can regulate and control. When you have it like that in your thermostat, Steph, was he a great player? Yes, he's a great player. Is he an MVP? Absolutely. But guys, they don't give those guys, like the Chris Pauls, guys that are, you look at Kyrie, the little man, they can't dominate the game from a defense perspective. So a lot of times you take away from those guys. You look at the Shaqs, you look at those great players. Iverson, yes, scorer, prolific scorer, but they can't control the game. Those are just guys that can give you the flash where people look at, even though their value is unreplaceable. That's why you look at this Warrior team and say, who do you got that can control the game? If friggin' we thought Draymond, if we wouldn't be having this conversation if Draymond Green can go get you 25 to 30 every night. The way he plays defense, you'd be like, my God, it'd be MVP.
He's LeBron.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why I think the league is getting bigger, and that's why the Warriors, when you watch this team defensively, no matter what happens this year, no matter who they bring back next season, they need to get size again. They need to get bigger, because the league is starting to – you're starting to see it again from LeBron, Embiid, Sim. These guys are physically imposing, yes. And that's what Steph Curry is at the one knock. Right. He's not physically imposing, and teams are taking advantage of that. By the way, congrats to Redmond from the 650. He's going tonight
Redman?
For the Warriors and Blazers game. Redmond. Redmond.
Redmond.
Yeah, Redmond. Like okay. The old running back with the Patriots from Arizona State.
I mean, just so we're covered in the future, if Redman ever calls back there, you put him on the air.
That's my guy.
That's your guy?
Yeah, I can call him on the phone right now.
Oh, man, that's my guy.
Bam.
Scat back.
Boom.
Catch the ball.
Yeah.
Out the backfield, run between the tackles. Boom.
Personal trainer. He comes and puts help me out with my camps and stuff. Redman, good guy.
Oh,
good
man. Slow deal. Big time at all.
Oh, knows everybody.
He does know everybody.
He only played 17 years. Hell, you should know a couple guys, right?
Damn right. Oh, do we have a low nose segment?
We should have a low nose.
We should
segment.
Have a low nose.
We should
segment.
Have a low nose, because low knows everything. He also knows Brian Baldinger is going to join us next here on the Mix and Match Monday. Lorenzo Neal hanging out till 2 p.m. Matt Kolsky hanging out till 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Bonte Hill. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.